Hello and welcome back to the Daily Weekly Podcast. And as you can see, I'm joined by Jake.
Hello.
Hello.
You alright?
Yeah, I'm alright. How are you?
I'm alright.
Good.
Wow.
Oh, I'm excited to have you back in here. This is totally the first time I've seen you today.
Yeah.
So here we are.
We are.
We had to get back together because this episode marks 3 years of the Daily Weekly Podcast and the Daily Weekly as a whole.
Can you believe it?
No.
Okay.
No, I can't. Yeah. Wow. So this is kind of an unscripted episode. We're just going to have a talk about a few different things. Like some things that we started talking about before we started to record. We're like, you know, will ChatGPT affect the movie industry? Will there be a need for writers when AI can do it? Or a film which we've both seen now, Ant-Man and the Wasp. I've shared my thoughts on this podcast, but I haven't even spoke to you about this, I don't think.
You haven't even spoke to me.
No, I haven't even spoken to you. Because everything's like, I better save that for the podcast.
And like I was saying to you earlier, that's the problem with our friendship now. Yeah. It's like any time we have any conversation ever, it's like, oh no, we better shut up and save that for a video.
Save that. But, I said it before this, right? Let's stop talking and get...
Yeah.
So we can say it again now.
Yeah. But...
Yeah, 3 years.
Wow, we started this at the beginning of... COVID,
yeah,
in our bedrooms,
yeah,
and now we've upgraded. We're just in your bedroom.
Yeah. But yeah, it's yeah, I just can't believe it's been 3 years.
I expect us to quit after 3 months.
Yeah, I'm like even going week to week an episode thinking, oh, that's just gonna a couple, that is not gonna make
I can't believe we used to do a podcast every week.
That's crazy. Yeah,
we spent so much more effort into our videos than we do now.
Even now, you know, I've restarted the podcast. I kind of wanted to do it for a little while, but I filmed an episode yesterday, actually, and it is beginning to get to the point where I'm not feeling burnt out, but it's like, how much further am I going to commit to doing this?
I think it's difficult. A podcast is a difficult thing to do on your own.
Yeah.
And, I mean, yeah, props to you for trying.
Thank you, yeah.
I mean, you've been trying to stick out with the podcast, and I respect it because I would have given up on it a long time ago.
Yeah, and I did give up because I tried doing it by myself a year ago.
Yeah,
and I was just kind of doing it all wrong because I was just doing a handful of episodes that I had made for like two people to do.
Yeah.
So when one of them was 15 minutes long because I'd got through all my notes,
it's like, not a podcast at that point, is it?
It's no, video. It's just a video of me talking to you.
Yeah.
So I didn't when I brought it back. I was like, okay, I need to retool it slightly. So I have. And it's been working. I like it. I've been enjoying it. So thank you for tuning in to that. Greatly appreciate it. And yeah, you're the first special guest in a little while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess not to toot my own horn, but I guess I'm the right guest for an anniversary because...
Well, yeah. I couldn't do this without you.
Aw.
Yeah, I'd always planned, even if it is just the anniversary specials, at least to have you back, because it only makes sense to get you here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's...
And if you've missed me and want to see more of me, go check out our LEGO channel, because I'm more so there than anywhere.
Exactly. You know, we've got a whole network of channels at this point, and Daily Weekly Builds, our LEGO channel, is you know,
soaring.
It is. It's going high. It's flying the flag for us.
Yeah.
That's where it's at.
Am I saying flying the flag?
I don't know. I was thinking of something to do with the flag and I came up with that. I don't know if that's quite right.
I don't know.
I think there's a saying for a flag. But that's our main focus. That's where we are doing all sorts of Lego-centered stuff. So if you're into that, do check it out. And of course, the other channels, Daily Weekly Show and Daily Weekly Extra for more of stuff featuring me. So if you like me, you're going to see a lot of me. Across all these. It's unscripted. We're just having a little chat, but let's pick up where we kind of left off. Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania.
Yeah. It's a movie.
It is. And I said it's a mixed bag.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Looking back, what I saw in the cinema wasn't the movie I expected to see.
I don't know, really. I don't really know what I expected, because I feel like what I had in my mind was kind of this, but better.
Yeah.
And I don't really know what... I don't know, it's weird for me, because I don't really know what I would necessarily do better or differently. I just notice stuff that I would. You know, I feel like it just could be better as a whole. And I mean,
I feel like maybe the simplest way to put it was the execution was all wrong. They had the right idea, but I don't know if they went the right way about it to tell the story they wanted to.
I think it's a weird kind of criticism, but I feel like my main sort of gripe with the movie is that Michael Douglas has nothing to do.
Yeah.
And I feel like he was such like a key part of the first two and probably one of the best parts.
Yeah.
And in this, he's reduced to a jealous husband, and that's all he kind of does for...
Yeah.
He's a bit jealous that Janet and Bill Murray had a thing.
Well, I was...
And potentially with Kang as well.
Yeah,
and...
yeah.
God, she got around in the quantum world.
Everyone knew who she was. Yeah, he was wasted.
He just didn't need to be there,
You could take him out and the whole movie would still work without him being there.
I feel like that's the same with Cassie as well.
Yeah.
And I feel like the only reason Cassie is there is because you sort of... needs a reason to go back to the quantum realm.
I mean, honestly,
and that was all it was.
You could get rid of Hope at that point as well, despite being Ant-Man and the Wasp.
I'll be honest, I don't really feel like you need Ant-Man there. I feel like it could just be a Kang movie set in the quantum realm. You could just start set from his perspective, and that would have been interesting to it from a villain's perspective for once, and just do him kind of how he took over the quantum realm and tried to escape.
Yeah, it could have been that. And then you still could have had the little revolution from the freedom fighters. They still could have... Okay,
with
so
that weird blobby guy with the drink, the whatever it was.
Oh, yeah.
What was that? Drink the...
I don't know. It was part of him, wasn't it? You were drinking him? And then you could understand what everyone was saying.
Yeah, that was...
And it looked like blood.
Yeah, it was like a weird sort of... Well, yeah, it was like a blood kind of like jelly thing. Yeah. I don't know.
But yeah, now that you think about it, the whole movie...
You didn't need any of the titular heroes in it at all.
It could have been a Kang movie.
Yeah, because I don't feel like...
And I feel like that might have worked better as a selling point.
Yeah, because I don't feel like you need Ant-Man there.
No.
But also, one thing I was going to sort of ask your opinion on, because I was wondering this myself. So, obviously the quantum realm exists at like a tiny, tiny, tiny level.
Mm.
So when he goes into Giant Man, he's not really Giant Man, is he? He's slightly bigger, tiny Ant-Man.
Yeah.
But then he acts like he's Giant Man. And he says to Cassie, it's like hugging Godzilla.
Yeah, I suppose it's just like a relative thing. But they're all very tiny.
Yeah.
And then Cassie, why didn't she use her suit sooner?
Oh, I know. And
like literally, the moment they got there, she could have put it on because they were being chased.
And also, there was, like the whole thing with an Endgame and with Ant-Man in general was, like, they need those suits to survive down there.
Yeah.
And then for half this movie, they don't wear their suits.
Yeah.
And also, bloody getting annoyed with Marvel suits now, because they're all that horrible, dreadful nanotech, wibbly-wobbly liquids.
Out of nowhere.
I'll be honest, when, like, I can deal with, like Star-Lord and Iron Man having it, it makes sense.
Mm.
Spider-Man getting it for... The Iron Spider was a bit, But now Ant-Man, like, he taps his chest and suddenly, whoop.
Yeah.
It really bugs me.
And it's like they found their perfect easy way out now.
Yeah.
And suit on and off, done. Nanotechnology.
And the thing is that I feel like Ant-Man had, like, one of, like, the best kind of, like, suit things anyway. Because, you know, he had that, like, his first helmet. It's all it was... Nothing feels tangible
physical
anymore.
Thing. Yeah.
It doesn't feel real anymore. It's just every... Even if a suit isn't CGI, because of that nanotech stuff, it feels like it's CGI. It doesn't feel like it's real. Everything feels kind of weightless with it.
Yeah, and there's like they lack a clunkiness.
Yeah.
Because it's just perfectly fits to your body. Yeah.
It just all sort of melts onto... Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I know people have complained about like their suit designs with like having too many lines and details on. And I feel like Ant-Man is becoming the biggest culprit of that, especially in this movie, because I do not like the suits in this movie at all. From a design perspective, from the nanotechy, liquidy perspective, anything. I just don't... I think this is probably the weakest movie for suits. And I really like the Ant-Man suits. I think it's a cool design.
Yeah. And, you know, on that topic of suits, I wish Hank Pym got to suit up. At least give him a role in the final battle where he came back with the army of ants. That was the time to give him a suit in the moment.
Oh, yeah. How do you feel about that? The king was defeated by ants.
Yeah. When people were saying that's, you know, what happened was. I was like, this guy really is an Avengers-level threat. He got defeated by ants. Don't worry. Kang Dynasty, get the ants back. Hey, problem solved.
I thought Kang was good.
Mm.
I felt he was well acted, and he is Kang.
Yeah. It's just one of his variants. That would be interesting to see.
Yeah.
Will he return? That's a...
Yes. Oh, sorry. Oh, him
not
specific.
Kang, yeah. Yeah, I know he will. Don't worry. But I bet when that news first broke, those Marvel lawyers were sweating.
Yeah.
So what do we do here?
Apparently there's been some updates on that now, and he might not have, and it might have been...
Oh, yeah. I haven't really followed it.
So I don't know. I saw something on TikTok about it.
We don't know enough to comment on the news story, but it was just interesting. It's like, oh, God. It's a selfish comment, though, isn't it? To think, oh, what does this mean for the movies?
Yeah, but you can't help it.
No, exactly. Really. Like, I had similar things in a recent podcast episode where I spoke about TV stars that left the main show, their shows.
Yeah.
Like, some of them are controversial, but you can't help selfishly thinking about
what it could have been.
What that could have been for the show. You think of the characters more than anything.
Yeah, but, like if Michael Scott had stayed on The Office.
Yeah.
We could have had a good last two seasons.
Yeah.
But instead we had Catherine Tate.
I mean, she's not terrible, but she's not the best.
Not in The Office, no. But we had The Lizard King, which was good.
Yeah. He wasn't around long enough.
I feel like he would have been a good replacement for like Jan early on. But him with Michael would have been...
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
But on the topic of Catherine Tate... Coming back for Doctor Who later this year.
Correct.
What were your thoughts? Are you looking forward to it?
Yeah, I'm interested in it. I'll be honest, I'm more looking forward to Tutti Gatwa's series than I am for the 60th.
I think that's like a mixed bag of people thinking the same thing as to they're looking forward to what comes after.
Yeah, I feel like I am, don't go wrong, I'm looking forward to the 60th, but it's just David Tennant again. And I haven't got anything against David Tennant, but he's not my favourite Doctor. And I know this is meant to be 14th now.
Same pace, different person.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I'm more excited to see what Shooty brings to me.
Yeah, and, it's going to be a whole...
I think he's going to be a good Doctor.
I think so. And it really will be like a whole new era of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
So hopefully...
I mean, he's got a moustache.
Yeah.
But it's fake. It's a glue-on moustache.
I didn't know it was fake.
Yeah, because I think he was filming Sex Education.
Oh, right.
And I think it's just a fake moustache. But it's an interesting look. So far, I've seen a few set photos of... He's had different costumes.
Yeah.
So it seems like normally with Doctor Who, their costumes, they get like a different shirt or a different tie.
Yeah, it's a subtle change.
With Shooty, it seems like his variant costumes, they're going to be entirely different, which... I'm down for. No, I tweeted out, I think, saying like if he's got like four to six different outfits for our whole series and they're completely different, I'm for it. Like the actor's very into like high fashion and he does a lot of modelling
and I think it also just makes sense to think that
he has different clothes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like back when, you know, we first saw Ten picking out his whole outfit in the wardrobe and then never really changes his outfit. Just a few different suits with different ties and shirts. Otherwise, it's always wearing the same thing.
I mean, even Catherine Tate comments on that in the one with the little fat people. Yeah, she said something about him not ever changing.
Yeah, I get it for
merchandise.
Merchandise and brand awareness and all that sort of thing. But from a character standpoint, he's really wearing... Yes, he can wash his clothes. I get it, people. But, you know, shake it up.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, no, I'm... Have you seen the set photo of the giant slug?
I think so.
Yeah, and it's apparently meant to be like mind controlling people. Yeah. They like stand under it and like it's a weird looking thing.
I know.
Like him, like
exactly. It's got that weird cheesiness that makes it Doctor Who.
Exactly, and I think that's something that Russell will try to get back to, because Shibnall took it a bit too seriously, and then introduced some. Stuff. Timeless children. The more time we get away from that, the more I hate it. Yeah. I'm really starting to get a bit annoyed with that after this. When it happened, I was like, okay, fine. I haven't really got a problem there being like pre-Hartnell doctors and stuff.
Yeah.
But after watching the classics again, I'm just like, I don't want anything to be before this. Mm. I want it to be a doctor left Gallifrey with Susan, they went to Earth, and then the adventure began. And that's what it should be.
Yeah. In a show where everything keeps going forward, why go back to that?
Yeah. You know? I know a lot of people have said that to them, like, oh, it just adds more mystery to the Doctor. To me, it takes away so much of it.
Yeah.
Especially to the Time Lords as well, because it's, oh, what the Doctor just happens to be the reason for them all being able to regenerate. And
yeah, it takes the idea that the Doctor was just another Time Lord.
Yeah, and I love that idea.
Yeah.
I love that.
They could have been any Time Lord.
Like, they were just a regular Time Lord that went a bit rogue and ran away. Because that's what it's always been. But, oh well, it's never going to be mentioned again in the show, so
hopefully
it doesn't really matter.
No, that's good. But yeah, looking forward to the 60th, and then what comes after, I think that's
Who's Neil Patrick Harris playing, do you believe? Because it hasn't been confirmed.
Right, yes. I think a lot of people are saying the toy maker.
Yeah.
And I'm leaning towards that.
I think it
just makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, the toy maker for ages was rumoured to have been in Chibnall series.
Yeah.
I mean, he was mentioned, I think, by the guy who has the detachable fingers, he says about the toy maker.
Yes.
Yeah, the weird fingering episodes. That was odd. I take back what I said about Chibnall not making the show like camp and cheesy.
I'm just glad that I remember seeing when it was like first rumoured that he was going to be in the show that he was just going to be playing the Master again.
I'm so dumb.
And hopefully it isn't, but yeah, it's so overdone.
It literally, every big villain reveal for the past like 5 years has been, it's the Master.
Even worse, Master and the Cybermen.
Yeah. I don't know, the Cybermen are my favourite villains in the show.
Yeah.
But stop overshadowing them with the Master. They've become quite literal cannon fodder for the Master.
Yeah, and I don't mind the occasional team up, but come on, really?
It is literally, I mean, what was it? It was Missy and them.
Yeah.
And then it was,
well, I mean, you could count John Sim and them, really, yeah, when he was back.
Yeah. Then it was Sacha Dhawan and Ashad.
Mm.
I don't know. Cybermen are my favourite villains, and there's an amazing artist on Twitter I follow who does a lot of Cybermen like props.
I've seen some of those, yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of his stuff is based around like making the Cybermen like this kind of like almost like religious kind of like.
Yeah.
Like they're trying to, like in the same way, like a lot of like converts for religions sort of try to bring people over to. It's the same thing with that, like Cybermen are trying to be like, yeah, you know, come on. Metal's better.
Yeah.
I love that kind of like,
I think that's just a really good way to bring them in. It
makes them scary as well, yeah. Because it's like, they become more of a cult.
Yeah.
Then just like, they're trying to, it sort of starts off as like, a few people get this kind of, I don't think you've listened to Spare Parts.
Very briefly parts of it, but not, I haven't, it's the whole thing.
One of the best Doctor Who audiobooks. Not audiobooks, but audio dramas ever.
Yeah.
You know, set on Mondas and shows kind of like the origins of everything.
Yeah.
And like, I love the idea of it kind of being like this thing that sort of starts going into sort of like limb replacements and things like that. And then it sort of becomes like this cult thing of like people want to upgrade every bit of them.
Yeah.
And like, it's just such a cool concept. And if I remember to let you know by the time you hear this, I'll link the artist Twitter because he does some great work and his designs are.
Definitely.
And yeah, I don't know. Just, yeah, stop smashing the Master and Cybermen together.
Yeah, cause, and I think also they need to stop making the Cybermen into just mindless robots. Mm-hmm. Bring back the human side,
Give the Cybermen, like they did with the originals, give them, like, human hands and things like that. Give them.
Yeah.
And please, for the love of God, stop it with the stomps. I'm so dumb with the, you can hear them coming from a mile away type.
Yeah, all the Iron Man suits. And even
simple things like them standing in like formation and stuff. They shouldn't be an army like that. They're still individuals. Like, give me David Briggs going, excellent, to the, the doctors. Like, that's the type of Simon I want Simon to have. Like, they should still be emotionless, but they need to have personality. And
yeah. Those classic ones, they did.
Like, just stop with the whole, like, you will be upgraded and you'll be, like, it's just boring. They're not scary.
Yeah.
And the Cybermen as a concept, I think, are probably the scariest villains in the show because, to a degree, it's realistic.
Yeah.
And then you make them into just robots with laser guns and some of them can fly now and stuff. Anyway, yeah, that was a tangent.
It was. Make the Cybermen better. We're not alone in thinking that.
No.
Wow.
What do you think about Daleks? Not just in general, but like, do you think they should be on like a break for a little bit? Or
I think so. Yeah, because again, they're almost not even villains at this point. They're just making little cameo appearances. But I think they have to for some rights issue or something. They have to appear like once a season.
Series, yeah.
Which, okay, fine. Yeah, they have to fit them in any way they can, but...
I like the Dalek. I don't necessarily think they should be in there every season, but I'm not to the point where I'm like, oh yeah, give them a break for 5+ years, because they are a staple of the show. You need them every now and again. But like, one thing I'm really hoping they do, especially with Russell on board, is, you know, obviously with his earlier stuff, you've got like the season finales where you've got like the Daleks as like the big threat.
Yeah.
And now every season it's the Master and Gallifrey's back and oh no, it's gone again. And
that's
awful.
I want him to bring back the Slitheen. Make them the season finale villains. They're conquering the universe. Everyone turns out to be Slitheen.
To us, I wouldn't mind them coming
even
back.
Even the Doctor's companion, and they don't know until the last minute.
Genuinely, I'd be happy with Slitheen coming back if they got rid of the farting. That's the one bit I don't need. Because they're a cool design, they're a cool concept.
Yeah, and a scary creature, really. That thing coming at you, you know. Yeah. Those big black eyes.
Big 8-foot bloke with big claws. And
yeah, trying to remember it now. It's like when they unzip themselves.
Yeah.
Not only did the zip come out of nowhere, but the big blue light that filled the room.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that really loud, like, electronic noise. Yeah.
Oh, God. I still remember watching Sarah Jane Adventures, and I don't know if you remember that episode where, like, Luke finds his real parents and they turn out to be Slitheen.
Yeah.
I remember being like, what? Like, what? Being so shocked. And and then Mr. Smith was evil. And then he was good again at the end.
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't good again, but he was made good. But yeah, what a time to be alive. Oh, the early 2000s were, right?
Yeah, good time to be a Doctor Who fan.
What else? What have you watched recently?
I think a big thing to talk about would be The Last of Us.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty damn good.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
I couldn't really think of a way they could have done it better, other than maybe a few more infected here and there.
Yeah.
But I thought Pedro and Bella did top tier work.
Definitely, yeah.
I think particularly Bella in the later episodes, more specifically when she's destroying David's head.
Yeah.
Well acted, well bloody acted.
Yeah.
Yeah, really, really good.
I can't really think of a bad thing about it. Like, a more infected would have been nice, but that's like the only thing.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's my only real criticism, because they're trying to get Ellie to the Fireflies to make this cure, but a lot of the time it doesn't feel like there's much need of one, because it doesn't feel like there are
not really that much of a threat out there, is there?
The main problem is that just people were sort of off doing whatever they want. There's no laws or anything. And I feel like that's the kind of real issue there, more so than the Mushroom Boys.
Yeah.
But
hey, season 2 will be good.
Tell you what, one thing that I wish they'd kept up throughout the rest of the season, and they only did it for a couple of episodes, was the opening scenes. In the first episode, you had the scientists on the talk show.
Yeah.
I still watch that scene occasionally, because it's just so eerie and it's so well acted.
Yeah.
And just, like the whole thing where about, you know, oh, what if the world gets slightly warmer? It's just like, I get it. Yeah.
That can happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that kind of stuff. And I think the second one, it was the scientists saying about like bomb the cities and stuff. And it's just, it sets it up and it just gives it a kind of creepiness and sort of.
Yeah.
And that's one thing.
It makes it a bit more real, where it didn't just suddenly come out of nowhere.
Yeah. And one thing, because I rewatched the first episode about a week or two ago, and I love in post-apocalypse stuff when like they show like the day where it's about to happen, because when you watch it, you feel tense, because like even though nothing's happened yet, you haven't seen a zombie yet. Everything feels like it's like just
something's
on the brink.
About to happen.
Yeah. It's like the same type of thing I get when I watch like the first ever episode of Fear the Walking Dead. It's like you're on like the edge of like everything's about to go down, and it gives you
tenseness. It's like you as a viewer know something is happening. When, how?
Like specifically, I'm thinking of like when Sarah goes to like, the watch shop and stuff.
Yeah,
and like all like the fire engines and things going past. It's like I felt like it's just so like
your
body sort of is like on edge, like
I
know what's coming, but you don't, and it's making me anxious. Oh. But it's good. I liked Joel's massacre in the last episode. I thought that was well done.
Yeah,
very cold and emotionless.
Mm. Yeah, it's good.
And big repercussions for those who played the second game.
Yeah, I haven't, but I know what happens.
Yes, I'm excited to see what they do with part two, because apparently they're going to split it into multiple seasons.
Yeah,
because it is a bloody long game, and
So it'd be nice to see. Hopefully they do some more original stuff as well.
Yeah.
That's what I'd want. Like, I think I might have spoke to you about this before, but I want to see more of Joel and Tess, what they've been doing in those 20 years.
Yeah.
Like, sure, she died, but bring the actress back for more flashback scenes. You know, I think that'd be good.
Bring back Bill and Frank too. Show them meeting with them again.
Exactly. That's the good thing. Like, even though these characters aren't around, there's still plenty of time where they are.
Exactly. And, you know, I mean, we had that one scene in episode 3 with Bill and Frank meeting Tess and Joel, but, you know, they met them multiple times after that, I'm sure, and they had an ongoing relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing I will say. You know, episode 3 with Bill and Frank, I think, was probably one of the best TV love stories I've seen. It was
brilliant.
I was in a wreck by the end of that.
It was so
well shot, and I've not stopped having long time stuck in my head since.
It was just,
beautiful.
a brilliant... Yeah, it was just brilliant. I don't really know how to describe it. It was a great
story of two people who needed each other
but
didn't know it.
Exactly. Yeah, that was... Yeah.
Yeah.
It was self-contained enough, but also tied into the overall story where it just worked.
That's the thing, though. I feel like on rewatches, it is going to be that episode that sort of... I think this and... Was episode 7 the one that showed Ellie and...
Riley, isn't it?
Riley, that's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like those two episodes, I feel like they're going to be the ones that feel a bit... tiny bit out of place. Because to me, more so the Riley and Ellie one, that episode's probably the weakest for me, I think.
I
enjoyed it still, but I didn't think it was half as good as the others, to be honest.
And I didn't feel like it needed a whole episode for it. I feel like it took up a slot. No. It could have been part or at least half the episode or something, but...
Yeah. I feel like the way it was set up was a bit weird as well, because the episode starts with, obviously, Joel's been stabbed and fallen off a horse and whatever. And then, from what I remember, Ellie, goes to go into a room, and then, it flashes back to that for, the entire episode, and then suddenly it cuts back to Ellie at the end. It's like, okay, so what, you just had, a bit of a midlife crisis, in the middle of just, walking?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like there was much to sort of trigger that. I mean, I guess someone she loved dying.
Yeah, I suppose it was the fear that she, she's going to lose someone again.
Mm.
And I guess it brought back the memories. That's the only way I can see that.
But, yeah, I didn't think that was the strongest episode at all. I still think episode 1 was probably my favourite. Mainly because of the pre-apocalypse stuff.
And I liked a lot of the parallels to the game, how close they managed to get that.
Yeah. I thought the actress who played Sarah was great as well.
Yeah.
She had that sort of, I guess, that almost kid-adult sort of in-between sort of charm and that kind of sarcastic sort of...
And, people who haven't seen the show yet, they don't need to be worried about casting choices.
No.
They got the right people to play the roles.
Yeah. I think in pretty much every regard.
Yeah.
The voice actors from the game played two characters that were pretty important in the end, to be honest. Especially Ashley Johnson, who voices Ellie.
So it's nice that they still, even if they didn't play such a big part in this, they still played a part. And it's...
I think Tommy's voice actor was in it as well.
Yes. He was one of the guards for the group.
Oh, the ones that were chasing down them two.
Yeah.
That, I can't remember the names. I'm sorry. Henry and Sam.
Yeah.
That's one. It's Sam. I don't know. Henry and someone. That episode was good with the bloater group. Oh, no. It tore a head off of what's-his-face.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's...
Yeah. I mean, it was good. It was good. It was all good. That's what I think we're trying to say.
Yeah.
It was a very good show.
Looking forward to seeing what they do next.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what...
It's not going to be until 2025.
No, I don't think so.
But yeah, probably January 2025 is when it will drop, I imagine.
Yeah, yeah. That sounds about right. Yeah. There are maybe some rumours that we might be getting a third game.
Yeah.
I've
been reading up on that, and I think maybe they... before the TV show, they probably didn't have anything planned at all. Although I think ultimately money talks, and they are going to come up with a story to make more of this.
I imagine there was probably a conversation or two of where could we go if we did it? But I think the game definitely sort of it forward.
Yeah. And I think my advice again for the game, instead of going forward, go back a bit. Just
give us a Tess and Joel DLC.
Yeah, exactly. I think they need to have some more Joel. I think that's the real... I don't think they made a mistake by doing what they did.
I mean,
it was
before the game came out. I assumed he would.
Yeah,
I mean, you can probably figure out what we're talking about. So I was just to say spoilers here. Yeah, I assumed he was going to meet his end in the second game. I thought it before it came out, and after it came out, I was like, I love Joel, but I'm not majorly upset by it. I feel like it pushes Ellie's character a bit more. I'm not happy with the way he died. I mean, he ain't going to go play golf, eh?
No. Needs a heroic.
One of the main kind of discussions is, like, Joel isn't really the good guy, because he has quite literally sacrificed every living person on Earth to save one girl.
Very selfish.
It's selfish, and I feel as though there's a strong argument to be made for both sides, but I don't think he necessarily deserves a hero's death, because I feel like he's...
Well, that's the thing. If we had met Joel, if we were one of the other characters on the other side of the fence here, Joel would be the bad guy.
Yeah, if we were following the Fireflies from the beginning,
then
Joel would be the big bad that came to ruin their day.
Yeah, exactly. He just killed all their people. What? Of course he's the bad guy. Well, there we go. We've talked about the Daily Weekly as a whole. We've talked about Marvel movies and Ant-Man, Doctor Who, The Last of Us.
Yeah. All of the best things in life.
Oh, yeah. The only thing we didn't mention was The Walking Dead. So let's quickly mention that. Are you excited for these spin-off shows?
I'm excited for Summit.
Yeah.
Less so excited for Raise the Dead.
Oh.
I don't like that. I don't mind Summit.
Yeah.
Depending on what it's referring to. Raise the Dead is very...
It's just as bad as Dead City, in my opinion. Wow. Not very good with names.
Isle of the Dead wasn't that good either.
I think it's just... It sounded a little cool.
You don't need to put Dead in the name.
No, you don't.
Just literally, but just call it.
That's why I think it's even worse, where it's like The Walking Dead, Dead City.
Yeah. It's called Dead City.
Yeah.
I mean, every title's got to have The Walking Dead in it.
They don't have the confidence in this brand that they've been building over 10 years to call the show something standalone.
Yeah, like... Yeah, no, the Dowell Show, I don't get why you don't just call it, like, just call it Dowell Dixon.
Yeah.
Or just call it, like, Dowell's Day Out in Paris.
Dowell's Day Out. Yes. Sounds like an animated short Disney would make.
Yeah. I admit, the Dowell Show kind of worries me, because the synopsis makes it sound like he has to make the decision of whether to go back to his group and be with his family, or stay with his new friends in Paris. And it makes me annoyed, because I just know they're going to make him stay
with
Paris. It's like, yeah, just go back. Like, I don't want you to stay in France. You've got your actual family back home, and Rick's on his way back. And
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it does get multiple seasons, where I think each one would be in a different place, and they're going to get Daryl to travel the world.
Well, yeah, but allegedly he just wakes up in Paris with no knowledge of how he got there. CRM related?
I think it'd be one of those things...
Padre related?
Are
they the same thing? We don't know.
Where he keeps trying to get home, but then something keeps happening and he gets on this long tour of the world.
Why him? Like, what? Why is he not allowed to stay in America? Is he... I don't know, is his visa expired? Or...
It just doesn't make sense, does it?
I don't know.
But it'll be interesting to see, although I'm worried about Dead City, and I hope they don't just backtrack on Maggie and Negan as characters.
I think they are, though. Yes. That's the problem, I think they are.
They have, and I'm worried about that.
I mean, you had, like, especially in the finale, you had some really nice sort of, like, I'll never forgive you, but we're okay.
We can move past, like, we're beginning to get there. And then it's going to be like, actually, do you know what?
Yeah.
Never happened.
You know, it's going to be the furthest into the timeline we've ever seen. It's meant to be, like, what, like 3 years after the finale? I
think so.
Herschel gets kidnapped. Again, CRM, Padre.
Oh.
I mean, Padre are known for taking kids.
Yeah.
And CRM are known for taking anyone. So...
Did you see the trailer for Fear the Walking Dead season 8?
I did.
The final season. Morgan is on his way home. He's still miles away, but he's getting there.
Yeah.
And I think that took a time jump of like 7 years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was...
So that's...
Because that's caught up now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Apparently.
And Madison is back.
Because...
Well, that's the trouble with Fear. Each time it does a time jump to get closer, the other show just got further away.
Yeah, because didn't after Morgan join Fear, that was still in like the... I mean, I guess by the time he got to Fear, by the time the Fear event's going on, it's around sort of like first half of season 9 of Walking Dead.
Well, I think...
Because that was about a year after season 8, wasn't it? Or 6 months or something like that.
Yeah, so I think, season 8 ended, then the Fear stuff was like Fear took a time jump to match up to the end of season 8 of the main show.
Yeah.
And then season 9 of the main show went forward again.
Because Morgan left literally just after the war, didn't he? Because there was that scene that everyone was like, oh, Rick's going to be in Fear the Walking Dead. He was in it for two seconds. Yeah,
Carol's there. What?
Yeah.
It's the scene they filmed at the same time of the main show. It's not like he went on set, you know, for Fear.
Do you remember, I was thinking about this the other day, do you remember that poster that they released of, like, all the Fear the Walking Dead crossover? And it was...
Yeah,
Morgan's joining.
It'd be good to see, although I didn't expect it to be the final season. So when they announced that on Instagram, I was shocked.
I think they're... As much as we're getting new spin-offs, I have a feeling they are trying to wrap it all up now.
Yeah.
I feel like they're slowly phasing out.
It just makes me sad, though. It's like, Madison's finally back. Of course it's for the last season. Of course. Yeah. Too good to be true for her to come back again.
I can't remember in season 7. Is Alicia dead yet? Or is she still slowly turning for whatever reason?
Yeah, unknown. I guess we'll find out in season 8. Well, it's been 7 years, so she's been still...
Well, she's there, isn't that, then? Yeah. Yeah, because she was... bit and then might not have amputated in time and all of that, I remember. And then was that whole weird thing with the, it was like a politician, wasn't it, or something? But I think it was when the nukes went off and she was stuck.
Oh yeah, I think so, yeah, I remember.
Oh god.
Yeah.
I don't remember much about Fear, but it does, I mean, Fear, I find it does braver stuff than Walking Dead did. Walking Dead was very much so like, oh, we've got a new group of villains. I mean, Fear the Walking Dead is blowing up half the country with nukes.
Yeah.
Which was never mentioned in any other show.
Exactly. And then I'm just glad that they finally thought, let's leave this area that a nuke went off.
Oh, God.
Let's try and live in the wasteland.
There are so many issues with how they manage that living in the wasteland thing. Like Grace's baby is... What was her name again? What was the name of their baby?
I don't remember.
I don't know why I was thinking it was Morgan. I was like, it's not Morgan as well, is it? It's not.
I don't know.
I know. Anyway, Grace's baby, like, there was that whole thing, like, she might be irradiated, and they had that whole little submarine spin-off thing.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see that.
I didn't watch that.
I guess
I still haven't finished World Beyond.
Oh, I did finish that.
I watched the first.
Got better in the second season.
Well, yeah, but that's because they actually did CRM stuff.
Yeah,
which was the only reason anyone wanted to watch.
It's worth it in the end.
We've had some set photos from the Wrecking Machine show. Have you seen these?
Yeah, yeah.
Rick looks like he's going to be giving Jadis a piece of his mind.
I'm just glad that we know Jadis is actually in it. Like, yeah. I know it would have made sense for it to be, but there was rumour that she wouldn't be. And I thought, why? That doesn't make sense. So I'm glad that she's actually going to be there.
Have you seen the set photo of the... like the TVs that someone's been doing the artwork on. It's the same style art that's on the phone.
I hadn't
seen that. So I imagine at some point when Rick first arrived, he went there and was like, hey, this is what I imagine my daughter looks like at the moment.
Yeah.
She might be wearing her brother's hat. Do you think Rick might have been... Because there was a set video of Rick sort of looking around and looking a bit sort of like, oh, where am I? And he's got his old boots on before he chucks them on a boat.
Oh.
Do you think he was maybe in a coma for a little bit after being blown up and shot and whatever?
It wouldn't surprise me if they did that.
I mean, he's got his long hair again, hasn't he?
Yeah.
I think that would be kind of a nice parallel. Open the show with him waking up in the CRM.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that would be good.
Maybe don't make it like a year long coma or anything. Maybe just make like a few months. Like he's been there and not allowed to go back.
Yeah, that would really. I think that would help it.
Yeah,
for a reason why he's never been back in so long. So yeah, he's been unconscious for the most part for this long, and then now he's there. He can't leave.
Yeah, I mean he gets tracked down by
like
a bloke who sounds a lot like Giancarlo Esposito.
I think so, yeah. I know who you're on about, yeah.
His voice sounded very much so like his, and I would love for him to play a villain.
That would be brilliant. He's just too good.
He's so good at playing villains. Yeah. Like, that's his niche.
Yeah, I think that would be good for him to do this.
I'm excited for it.
Yeah.
You think about how you work Flurry's mouth?
I just forgot I had
one. I keep looking at it. I was like, yeah, I don't know if he's had that yet.
Well, I might as well put a straw in it and drink it as well.
Oh, oh, yeah.
Oh, God. Oh.
But should we wrap it up there?
Yeah.
That's a good chat.
Wow.
Thank you all so much for watching the Theta Weekly Podcast's third year anniversary, and I'm sure we'll be back next year for the fourth.
Yeah.
So thank you all so much for watching. Be sure to like, comment, subscribe, all of that lovely stuff. Thank you for watching, and we'll see you in the next one.
Bye. Have a good day.